Some people say there's no such thing. Some people say it's a thing of the past. Some people say it was just all emotionalism, and we don't do those things like that anymore. But you know, there's a lot in the Bible about revival. A lot. And so tonight, real simple, Isaiah 57. Look at verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Think about that. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amen. When do we need revival? Well, when we can no longer be humble or contrite. Pride go up before fall. Turn to Habakkuk, if you will. Habakkuk chapter 3. I'll give you time to get there. Most of you know about Habakkuk. He's the one that said, when you don't live for God and tie to him, it's like putting money in a bag with a hole in it. Somebody told me one day, you know, they couldn't make it and tie. And I said, well, go ahead and put that money in that bag with a hole in it. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it ain't going to work. Go ahead. Put all your money in a bag somewhere, but when you go back to get it, you'll find out half of it's done dripped out the bottom. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Man. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, somebody said this earlier, I think it was the Old Testament's a bloody book. It was you, wasn't it? Amen. Said it was a bloody book. She said they chopping off people's heads and killing people and sacrificing animals and bulls and goats and turtle doves and lambs and sheep and everything else. So that's a bloody book. Amen, it is. It's a bloody book. And the reason it's bloody is because of sin. Amen. There wouldn't be a need for sacrifice without sin.
That's right.
There wouldn't be death without sin.
That's right.
Amen. And so all through the Old Testament, the children of Israel, God would get them thoroughly right with him and have a good relationship with him. And then they'd start wandering off and forget him and get full of sinful pride and go out and try to be like the rest of the world. And he'd have to bring some kind of catastrophe or some kind of whipping on them. Somebody would have to invade their land. Somebody would have to take them captive, you know, and make slaves out of them. But Brother Holroyd, he always found a way to humble them again and make them call on his name again. God's got a way of reviving his people. Amen. Now, we can either do it the easy way. We can humble ourselves and have that contrite heart and say, God, you're right and I'm wrong in everything. Or we can say, well, I'm right and God's wrong. Go out your honor and let him humble you and break your heart. Amen. And so we need a revival when humility in the church has disappeared. The modern church doesn't need Jesus. That's why they leave him out. Our nation, our modern day nation thinks it doesn't need God. That's why they take down the crosses. That's why Christianity offends them. The average Christian knows nothing about the Bible.
Right.
I'll say Christian, I mean professor of Christianity, knows nothing about the Bible. And God bless them. There's people come to this church and never read the Bible. Except when they're in here. There's people come to this church, I'll guarantee you, if we took a poll and I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody that was here tonight. But I'll guarantee you there's all kind of people in this church never read the Bible all the way through, not one time in their whole life. And ain't like they just got saved yesterday. Well, they say, well, it's too hard to understand all that genealogy stuff. Nobody said you had to understand all that genealogy. Just read it.
Amen.
If you'll read it, he'll explain it. And if he don't explain it, it's not that important for you to know. Go on and read some more. You know, go on, get past that stuff. But anyway, we need revival. We need revival. And I sit down and wrote a whole list of reasons why we might need revival. When we do not love him as we once did.
Amen.
When he can say you've left your first love, you need revival. Because your first love ought to be him. You'll love him above everything else. Amen. When earthly interests and occupations are more important to us than eternal ones. Some of us have lost good jobs over our faith. Some of us have turned a different way when we could have went one way in a career and been in a whole different place. We went a lesser way in order to be faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we'd rather watch TV and read secular books and magazines than read the Bible and pray. Amen. When church dinners are better attended than church prayer meetings.
Yes. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Y'all say amen here, you're here.
Yeah.
Amen. That's one you can get right. When concerts, Christian, Southern gospel, contemporary, whatever you want to call it, when concerts draw bigger crowds than prayer meetings, you need a revival.
Yeah,
I had a dream one time, this is the truth. Now I got nothing against Rochester's. We went to church with them before they were famous, when they were just a family, and they're real popular in the Southern bluegrass gospel type music, and wonderful people, great Christians. They're great Christians. But then they got famous, went on the road and all this stuff, so they left the church. But the point being, I had this dream. And by the way, I used to preach at the Army Reserve, and when it was just Mr. and Ms. Rochester and their kids when they were little, they'd come to Army Reserve once a month and sing for me before I preached at the Army Reserve. And it was almost all black. And they sang bluegrass. And those black guys loved it. They loved it. And then I'd preach and ruin everything. But I had a dream years ago that I invited them to come, and it was the old family, you know. Now you got the Rochester mom and daddy and one or two, and then grandkids, and now that their sons have broke off and started other, Rochester families, they have their own families, you know. But I had this dream that I invited, and it was the old family, and they showed up, and the building was packed over there on John Street. And boy, they sang, and people whooped it up and hollered and cried and waved their hand. And as soon as I come out and open my Bible and start reading, they start leaving. I really had that dream. I really did. I really did. I get letters all the time and messages on Facebook and calls from people, gospel singing groups that want to come sing for us. I usually don't answer them, but if I accidentally do, I say, no, thank you. We got plenty of good singers already. Amen. Why would, the last one, years and years and years and years and years ago that I even talked to, he wanted $900 to come sing him and his family for 1 hour. More than $900. And I thought he was a friend of mine. I said, let me tell you something. We bring preachers in here and don't pay them near that much. And I think it's a whole lot more important to preach than it is to sing. Needless to say, it didn't come. When do you need revival? When we put people in leadership positions in our churches who don't meet scriptural qualifications. Or they say they do, and then they don't live up to them. When do we need revival? By the way, the pulpits are full of those people now. Whenever our Christianity is joyless and passionless. I mean, if it won't move your eye for a tear every once in a while, or your hand for a hallelujah every once in a while, you need revival. Amen? And, but again, if you saw Thomas dance while he's singing, he don't need revival. He's like David. He certainly ain't ashamed of making a fool out of himself for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Are you turning red? Amen. I don't know about that. He ain't ashamed of you. I don't know about your feet and all that, but yeah, I'm teasing. Amen. Listen, look, we need revival when we have time for sports, recreation, entertainment, but not time for Bible study nor prayer.
Amen.
It's sad when our kids can name every NFL football star and every baseball star and every soccer star and every basketball star, and they can't name five of the apostles. That's a shame and disgrace. When we don't tremble at the word of God. When we don't, you know you need, look, when people don't take this thing seriously. Now, he sings that song, it makes, Wayfaring Stranger, it makes me want to tremble, tremble, tremble. Ain't that in there?
No, that one's not in there. That's in a different song. Yeah.
Huh?
That's the worst two, Were You There When They Crucified.
That's it.
Were You There?
Yeah, it, and that ain't the same song, is it? Yeah. Well, that shows how much I know. But when we can read this thing and it doesn't make, I can't explain it. This is a holy book.
Yes.
This is a unique book.
Yes,
amen.
There is no other book like this, not just on planet Earth, in the universe.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And when I sit down and read this, I don't take it lightly. I do not. This is very serious to me. Now I kid around about me and you, but I don't kid around about the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible's to be taken seriously. And I'm afraid people don't look at it that way anymore. We need a revival when people, we'll go through here. Our Sunday school teachers give these kids Bibles and they leave them laying around. They never even take them home, never read them. Why? Because mom and daddy don't see how serious it is either. We need a revival. When we know the truth, but we're not practicing it,
right.
We need revival. When preaching lacks conviction, confrontation, and divine fire or power, we need revival.
Amen.
Now, people come in here, and they'll come from other churches or hadn't been in church in a while, and they say, man, y'all got it, y'all on fire. But the thing is, they hadn't been in a revival in so long, they think we have revival every week. That's the truth.
That's right.
One of these little boy preachers went to one of these dead Southern Baptist churches recently, and they was bragging about it on Facebook, you know, had 300 saved and all this stuff. And I said, man, if they had 300 teenagers saved, it turned that whole county upside down.
Yes.
I said, they had a bunch of crying and they had a bunch of hooping and hollering, but here's why. When you go into a dark place, it don't take much of a light to get your attention. Amen? Hey, when you're in a dark place, just one spark looks good. And so the average church doesn't even have a spark. They're dead and dying. We need revival. Now, we need revival here, and I think we have some fire. I think we have some life here. And if we need it, how bad must it be in these other places? When God's people are more concerned about their careers than they are the kingdom, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip a bunch of these. I sit down and wrote all day. I put half of them on Facebook. When believers can be at odds with each other and not feel compelled to pursue reconciliation, you need revival. I've been in churches where one sits back there, won't talk to the one that sits up here, and the one that sits over here won't talk to that one back there, and that one back there is mad at that one, been mad for 20 years, and that one's mad at that one, and she's divorced her husband, and this one over here has married him, and hey, I'm serious, listen, we need revival.
Amen.
We need revival. Now, thank God. And by the way, you ever notice that they jump on the preacher whenever he says something and a little spark of light goes out and a little fire starts, they'll come run over there to blow that thing out quick as they can because they don't want to be exposed, Brother Holroyd. They don't want to be exposed. I never forget old Brother Sammy Allen. He was talking about, there in the Old Testament, you know, the two sons of Levi bringing strange fire to the altar, and that was forbidden. And God caused a bunch of trouble on account of strange fire, and he stopped right there, and he got down there, and he got up in his preacher's face at the front, and he said, "Listen, we don't have to worry too much about that strange fire in our churches." He said, "If we get any fire at all in our churches, there's enough old wet dish rags in our membership that can put it out real quick." Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know we need revival. Amen. Amen. Look, when our children are growing up adopting worldly values and ungodly lifestyles and nobody saying anything about it, you know we're in trouble. When my kids was growing up, we dressed them for church. Every Sunday. Every Wednesday. We dressed our children for church. We dressed for church. I come out of hell on earth. I knew there ought to be a difference from what I was down there and what I was at church. And listen, when these people can tolerate sin just because it's their children or their grandchildren, we need revival. Come on, don't die on me now. Give me a Methodist nod or something over here. Amen. You ain't no Methodist. Listen, when we start tolerating little sins like gossip and a critical spirit and a lack of love, we need a revival. Now, you can ask my wife. I'm the last one to know anything around here. I am. She's rolling her eyes. She's next to the last, she said. But we'll not tolerate that. Listen, gossip, you wouldn't believe how many people went through this church that the devil sent just to gossip and start lies and stories on people. Good people. Good people. And we have literally run people off because of gossiping and lying and lack of love. Good. Amen, we have. We run them off. Never had a vote on it. Because I always tell them this, I'm going to save you embarrassment. Or my wife tell them if it's a woman, we're going to save you embarrassment. Because if it comes before the church, you're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
You're probably better off just go ahead and take our word for it and just leave. And they'll usually leave. I had one tell me, "You can't do that." I said, "Well, you hide and watch. That's what we're doing. You can come back, but if you do, we're going to vote you out. Because we don't need that." Amen? That'll kill the spirit of a church. Bad feelings, gossip, critical spirit, lack of love. Look, I don't care if Thomas can't dance. If he's in the spirit, leave him alone. They let me sing. What can I say? Amen. Amen. Listen. Did you know that when our hearts are cold and our eyes are dry, we need a revival? We'll to weep over people going to hell. I like it. When Rudy prays, he'll say, and the crowd's not real big, but if there could be, you never know. Somebody doesn't know you and they might not be saved here, and we want to pray for them. I like that. Now, some churches would have grabbed SC when he come running up through there with that bag of clothes Sunday and said, "Boy, you're not old enough. You're not big enough." I got news for you. You'll have to whoop me to do that. You'll have to whoop me. Old dry, hard-hearted people. Yes. Little boy gets saved in Sunday school. Didn't he get saved in Sunday school?
Yes.
Huh? Got saved in Sunday school. Knew what he was doing. Heard me preach on baptism. Saw his daddy get baptized, so he wanted to get baptized too. Amen. Amen. Old hard-hearted, lifeless churches would stop something like that. They need revival. Amen. 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 When we aren't seeing regular evidence of the supernatural power of God in our lives, in our churches, in our families, we need a revival. Some people have never seen it. Some people have never experienced a supernatural act in their lives. I'm talking about miraculous supernatural act. Started with the new birth. And if you didn't have a supernatural experience through the new birth, you probably need to get new birthed. I mean, if God touched you, it was a supernatural act and you knew it.
Yes.
And they didn't have to send you to confirmation class to get it figured out.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's a, look, we'll have regular evidence of supernatural acts in our lives. We'll see answered to prayers all the time. We'll see God working in us and in our families and in our church all the time. We'll see that. Amen? And in this church, we'll see it. There ought to be more people at the altar. Our altars don't have enough people at it. Now, and I'm sure there's having supernatural acts in their lives and in their families, but they're not coming forward and letting everybody know it. They need a revival. They ought to share that stuff with us. Amen? Come on, help me. Amen. I'm not near through. When we've ceased to weep and mourn and grieve over our own sin and the sin of others. You want to know when you need a revival? When you can point at somebody else and point out their sin, never think of your own. You need a revival. It ain't near as easy to judge people and send them to hell if you'll just look at yourself every once in a while. I'm not saying we have to okay everything that people do and put a stamp of approval on it, but we can't run around pointing out everybody else's sins and never recognize our own. I lay on this altar every day, and the first thing I say is, I say, God, I know who you are.
Amen.
Holy and high and lifted up.
Yes.
And God, I recognize who I am. I'm nothing.
Right.
And Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace, looking for more grace. Amen. And that's happened in this church. I've had people come to me and point out other people's sins. And I said, well, what about yours? What are we going to do with yours? At least they're in church. At least they're listening. At least they're trying to get right with God. What are you doing? You're looking at them. I told y'all that time I preached a sermon, Your Worst Enemy, and I had the ushers pass out these little paper packages. They were little wrapped up in paper. And when I got to the end, I said, you want to see your worst enemy? Open up that little piece of paper. And I opened it up, and it's a little mirror, and they're looking at themselves.
That's right.
Amen. That's your worst enemy. And when we are more concerned about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. When I was younger, I worried about what people thought about me. I grew up that way. I was so shy. They'd get me up in front of a chalkboard to do something. And I couldn't hardly do it. I was so shy, I was scared to death in front of people. And it's like that up through the 9th, 10th grade. And I really didn't even, I'm so self-conscious because I worried about what people thought about me all the time. So I didn't have many friends. I didn't hang around with a lot of people, you know. I didn't have a lot of friends. And I met a guy about, it's been over 20 years ago now, and he was from Lancaster. I told him who I was. He said, you're Ronnie? I said, yeah. He said, I remember you. I said, yeah. He said, we thought you was cool. I said, I wasn't cool. I was scared. Well, you didn't run with the crowd. I was scared of the crowd. Well, you was your own man. No, I was a scared man. Amen. Did you know we need a revival when we're unmoved by over 2.5 billion people in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus?
That's right. Amen.
Never heard it. We need revival when we are unmoved about the people we know going to hell. You see, it's strange how everybody knows my children might go to hell, but they never think about their children going to hell. And it's strange when they think about their wife might go to hell, my wife might go to hell, but not, they never think of theirs going to hell. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I still say it, the greatest mission field in America is the church.
Wow.
Now for two reasons. Number one, there's only about 10% of people in church saved anyway. That's true. About 10%, that's it. 10% do all the work in the church or less. 10% or less do all the work in the church. About 10% attend faithfully and give faithfully. Here's a good example tonight. I'm not saying all these people's lost, but I'm saying there's only a few, even in church. Now, out of all the people that come to church, and if they are saved or not, think of their families. How many people in their families, if I question their faith, what about their family's faith? Your family's going to have less faith than you do. And if we could just reach sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and cousins and mamas and daddies and wives and husbands of the people that go to this church.
Yes.
When I went selling insurance, they taught us this, and I've talked to you before, it's called a circle of 100. And business people say everybody has a circle of 100 people that they know. I mean, some of them's closer than others, but there's a circle. You do. Everybody in here, just sit down and write everybody you know. I mean, even distantly know, relatives and old friends and new friends, and just write them down. And you'll probably have somewhere between 50 and 100. Now, you think about those people and how many of them's not even saved. All right, now you think about that, and you think about average attendance here. I'm going to fudge. It's probably around 90, but let's say the average is 100 on Sunday morning. Well, now you multiply that 100 by the people that they know. And if it's just 5, you know. But listen, this church right here, if we could reach everybody that we're concerned with individually, we'd have 500 or 600 people in here every Sunday. Right now, we need revival in our church.
Amen.
About those people that we say we love, our
yes.
circle,
Amen.
Your circle, my circle.
Yes,
Lord. I put little things down here. I used to try to start a care ministry. I started one in two churches. It worked wonderful. Church doubled. But it never worked here. But I got these referral slips right here, and all I ask for is a name and address, and down at the bottom, check off a reason to go see them, and I'll go see them. And if I forget, you can always write another one, because I lost the other one. I'm old and forgetful. But if everybody in here would just write down names of people that I could get to that's in their circle, think of how many more people would be saved. If just the children and the grandchildren of our church family were saved. Just our children and grandchildren. I pray God will put a burden on us during revival. I gotta quit. When the lost world around us, and I'm gonna quit on this one, doesn't know or care that we exist, we need a revival. Read your New Testament. 120 people turned the world upside down. And most of it was through trouble. Everywhere they went, they spread the gospel. People were saved, but also people were offended. Now, everywhere we go, if we're disciples of Christ, people should either love us or hate us, but we should affect that area of their lives somehow, some way. People you work with, people you live around, people you associate with, family, friends, somehow we ought to be affecting their lives either to the good that's drawing them to Christ or that they're rejecting Christ and don't even want to be around us. And when people can be around us and it has no effect on them at all, that means we need a revival. Everywhere I ever worked. Everywhere I ever worked. I wanted to affect the people. And I'm going to tell you something else too. Everywhere I worked, public jobs, here's what I thought. There's somebody here who needs to be saved. And God put me here to find out who that is.
Yes.
And I witnessed everybody I worked with.
Yes.
And everywhere I ever worked, somebody got saved. I made a lot of enemies. But for Christ's sake, I affected the place. The last place, my supervisor, my manager, told me, he said, Brother Ron, no, he did. He called me Brother Ron, but he didn't at first. He said, you've changed this place since you come here. He said, before you come here, they come in cussing and griping and said, now everybody in here is saying, amen, brother. Amen, brother. Praise God, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. He said, what do you got to say about that? I said, amen, brother. But that's the way it ought to be. I gotta quit. Psalm 64, 1 through 4. We done went over time. I'm gonna go ahead and start reading. Isaiah 64, I'm sorry. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. That's what we need. Yeah. Psalm 80, verse 18 and 19 says, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts.
Yes.
Cause thy face to shine. Yes. And we shall be saved.
Amen.
When God shows up, things happen.
That's right.
The mountains melt. The earthquakes. Your mountains will melt. Your earthquake.
Amen.
I'm praying starting Sunday morning. And I know there's some people get scared. I know they will. I'm scared first time I experience real revival. They'll get scared. And some will get scared and won't come back. But I want it.
Amen.
I want it. I want his face to shine on us.
Yes.
I want his power to be manifested here. I want to see miraculous things.
Yes.
I want to experience a supernatural experience from God. That's what I want to pray for tonight. I don't just want another 4 or 5 meetings and sermons. I want God to come down.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I don't know what the preacher's coming, what he's got planned. It may scare him.
Yeah.
But I want it.
Yeah.
I want it. I want his, hey, I want it to be like the Shekinah glory to come down this place. The presence of God came down so much, all the people could do was fall on their faces and say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be something? I think if it would happen, some of those kids would get saved.
Yeah.
I think if it happened, some of those grandkids would get saved. Some of those husbands or wives would get saved. Some of those church members just barely on the edge, even being in church, much less the will of God, they'd get the fear of God in them and get right with God. I think some would come seek forgiveness again. I think there might be a little reconciliation going on. I've been in revivals where people got up over here and went over there and grabbed somebody by the neck and apologized for them. Somebody over here, get up and go back there and grab their daughter and drag them down to the altar and pray on them. Somebody over here, pray with them. And somebody over here, go get their son and bring him down here and pray with him. Amen. Y'all remember those days? Well, why can't we have them now? If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever,
yes.
He changes not, why can't we have that, Brother Holroyd? We can.
Yes.
But we got to be humble and contrite and repent of our sins. And then he'll hear from heaven.
Yes.
And he'll bless our church and our land and our homes. Amen. I want everybody to come with me around the altar. If you can, if you can't, just come up here and sit on the front or something. But if you can, come around the altar. I won't pray, but just a minute, unless the Lord gets in on it. I don't know if you know what revival is. I don't know if you've ever been in one. But I want you to pray for one anyway. We know that it's true because the Bible's full of them. We know it's a fresh appearance of God. And we know we got a part in it by seeking God. He said, we'll humble ourselves, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. He'd hear from heaven.
Yeah.
So tonight, I'm not asking you to do it out loud, but if you have any unconfessed sin, now would be a good time to confess it and ask him to forgive you. But Lord wants to hear about your family too. Belinda's got a daughter that's out there somewhere. And God, unless God rescues the parish, and she's in big trouble. Some of you got children, grandchildren, not saved. Brothers, sisters, not saved. And unless there's a divine intervention, they're not going to be saved. They're going to go to a devil's hell. We got children in this church going to hell. We got children in our church family. And I want, if you will, Brother Fortson, I want you to start us off. And when he gets through, Brother Jeffrey, close us out.
Heavenly Father, we come to you now.
Please help us.
Contrite, Lord.
Revive us.
Revive us.
Yes.
So we can help revive other people.
That's right.
Be with our families.
Yes, God.
Our circle of 100, Lord, you mentioned it earlier.
Oh, rescue them.
Lead, guide, and direct us.
Yes.
And help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Help us spread the word. Help us get them to church, Lord.
Honor
if nothing else, guide them to this place.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Where they will hear the word.
That's right.
And pray for revival.
Please.
And all these things. We thank you.
Yes.
Lead, guide, and direct us.
Please.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Now, by faith, we believe that.
Yeah.
By faith.
Amen.
Let's don't sing. Hey. Well, let's do sing revives again. Come on, do it again. Do it again. We got time. You aren't going nowhere. You're just going to go home and watch television. Come on. What was that? 20?
20.
We're going to sing 20.